97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, are you awake on your Wednesday morning? I bet you are if you're driving, because there are pools of water out there on the road from all this rain. Man, we have been in a bit of a vortex, so I know there are probably a lot of wet deer hunters out there as well, because I know my nephew's been out in the woods the last week or so trying to get a deer, because it's bow season, and supposedly they're all moving right now. So if you're out there, no matter what you're doing, till the end of the day at least, you're going to get wet. It looks like some beautiful weather this weekend when we have to turn those clocks back and get an extra hours of sleep, and I hate it. I've already complained about it once this morning, so I won't bring it up again, but there we have it. Dan said you're kind of torn on that one, right?
Yeah.
Not sure how you feel?
No. Not sure yet.
Just leave it. Just pick one and leave it. And then I think I'd be happier. Sue Thomas, we have her in studio today. Fortunate that she's here instead of in the traffic center. So what's going on?
What? With what? I just spaced out.
The clock. Do you like the fall back or spring forward?
What do you want? It already looks like it's midnight at, what, 7?
Yeah.
And now when it looks like it's midnight at 5,
yes.
I just hate it.
Yeah.
But see, wintertime, you don't do as much activity outdoors. That's why I'd rather have sunshine up earlier in the morning.
Here's the thing.
This is like 8 o'clock, kids standing in the dark waiting for the bus.
Well, I get that. But it's dark no matter what time, because we get up so early.
That's true.
So maybe that's part of annoyance. You know,
I mean, it's 8 o'clock now, and it's just getting light outside.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
See,
Dan,
when you go back to your normal life, see that'll affect you more. But right now, you're fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
exactly.
My pickleball outdoor league ended last night.
I'm just torn to play baseball.
But I love daylight savings time in the summer. I really do. I love having the light later, because you're doing so much more outdoors.
Fine.
It just doesn't matter as much to me in the winter.
Just pick one and we'll go with it.
You just say,
so if it's daylight saving, let's just take it and run.
Yeah.
One time zone,
yes.
You're in it all year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would
have to say I'm with Sue on that one, for sure.
Well, you know how you drive to parts of Indiana and they don't change, and it's weird.
It is weird.
But if we all did it, okay.
There's just one time
zone. That's true. They don't never change
all
it.
All right, now you guys are convincing me. I'm starting to lean that way a little bit more. I was kind of up in the air before.
Hey,
now I'm thinking no more daylight savings. Just make daylight savings be the time, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right?
That's it.
Longer
that's
summer days. That's more important to me than an earlier sunrise in the morning, in the winter.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Go back on the podcast if you missed anything. This morning we had Steve Ellman on, the current county executive who decided to run again yesterday. Well, he didn't decide yesterday, but he announced it. We had him on live last hour, and Bill Igel, one of the people running against him, his opponent, Jason Law, is still in the race. Mike Elam dropped out. We're trying to keep up with all of it. We'll probably have Jason Law on here Friday to talk about what is still a three-person race and looks a little different now. So we'll see what he thinks about that as well coming up on Friday. We got Jimmy Failla this hour, and we're going to talk to Grady Trimble, because, and you'll hear this in the short list here in a minute, the president signed yet another big trade deal with our second biggest trade partner, which is South Korea, once again benefiting the United States economy and U.S. businesses, all before meeting with the Chinese president later this week, probably tomorrow, I understand. So, Ethan, right now, let's get to the shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
The Israeli military is carrying out a series of airstrikes inside Gaza after Hamas attacked Israeli soldiers near the city of Rafah.
A little FAFO going on over there. The Palestinians think they can still randomly kill Israeli soldiers. They're finding out that is not the case. So Israel fired back, and now apparently the ceasefire is back in effect. But it's going to be a very painful lesson for these Hamas holdouts.
A lot was determined, very much determined. And we made our deal. We pretty much finalized a trade deal. And we discussed some other things having to do with national security, etc.
Yeah, it's going to be great. That's the president this morning. He's in Asia, so he's 9 or 10 hours ahead of us. He's already held several speaking engagements over there. Maybe he's about to get a little bit of rest. Tomorrow he meets with the leader of China.
Does the USDA have the money to keep this program should you choose to, or has the well truly run dry?
100% unequivocally, USDA does not have the $9.2 billion that it would require.
Thank you. Brooke Rollins there from the Agriculture Department saying, listen, I don't care what they're running around saying. We don't have a pool of money sitting around that we could just throw to fix the SNAP problem. What you need to do is vote to open the government, Democrats.
So you can sit back and you can mock, you can laugh, and you can think that you're about to starve us to death. But I'm here to let you know that we are going to eat regardless, even if we have to hunt you animals down and roast and eat you, the delectable crackers and cheese.
Yeah, this was some sound that I picked up online. I saw it in a New York Post article yesterday. I put that link up on the Facebook page this morning because I want people to see this. Lots of people threatening violence if their welfare SNAP cards don't get recharged as they do every first of the month. They're threatening to go into parking lots, not only to go in and get food and just walk out with it. That's what they're threatening that. They're also threatening to go into parking lots as people are loading their food that they paid for into their car and just robbing you out there and taking the food for themselves.
You know, and just they're taking it out on the general public who has no control whatsoever of this lockout. None, right? It's
well, they have nobody else to blame.
Well, call your senator and tell them that you're fed up with this garbage and reopen the government. Tell your Democratic senators that you want your government reopened. Take political action and don't take it out on the citizenry or on grocery store owners and people who are there working, trying to make a living, and you're threatening to go in and cause violence on the general public who don't have any role whatsoever. This is your Democratic senators who continue to vote to keep your government closed.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
End of story.
And you know, it's a problem in Missouri. It's a problem in Illinois. There are 1.95 million residents in the state of Illinois that receive SNAP. One in seven, it says here. And in Missouri, it's 656,000 or 11% of the state population. One in 10 in Missouri gets SNAP benefits. And on Saturday, there will be no more money on those cards. So is it immediate reaction? Does it take a couple of days without food before the riots start? Is that what Democrats are hoping for? I don't know, but this guy had the most chilling warning of the day, and I think maybe, Dan, we need to pay attention to this one.
No food stamps equals no to less weed money. Like, y'all about to have people out here hangry and sober. That's a diabolical combination. Because the food money got to come out of some budget, and that's the first one it usually comes from.
From the weed budget.
The weed budget is this guy's. Yeah. That's his explanation of why things are going to get bad, because people are going to have to be sober and deal with the reality of their situation.
Yeah.
And that is not going to.
In
my opinion, if you've got enough money to buy weed, you've got enough money to buy food. That should be your priority.
Yeah.
Same with beer or what will you name the
nail salon, the
thank you,
the
bourbon. I don't care what it is,
your alcohol budget, yeah. Whatever, you're going to have to find money in some of your other things in order to put food on your table.
Yep, that's true.
And I'm sure the food pantries are just going to get hammered.
Oh, I'm sure. If
they're
going
to
help
be
out
inundated.
The food pantry. We've been talking to JB Patriot's Pantry and trying to help them out. Maybe we get them on again and get some action going for
them. Even St. Louis Area Food Bank, we should get them on too.
Yeah, there you go. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Jimmy Failla, a host of Fox Across America. Big news from Bill Gates. We'll talk about that when we come back.
If you think climate is the only problem and it's apocalyptic, or if you think climate's not a problem at all, my memo will make no sense to you. You'll be like, oh no, it should all be climate. Or you'll be like, why are you even still talking about this climate thing? Why do you invest billions of your money into these companies? The middle position that climate is super important, but has to be considered in terms of overall human welfare, I didn't pick that position because it's a, you know, everybody agrees with it.
How about that? Bill Gates coming back from the climate extremes, in my opinion. Pretty crazy stuff. We got Jimmy Failla, host of Fox Across America, on the radio right now. I saw you talking about this live on Fox this morning. What's Bill Gates up to here?
What a glorious about face. Imagine those people who used to yell, save the whales. Yeah. Just get out of bed one day and they're like, you know what? Screw the whales. Nobody ever liked these whales. And that's exactly what's happening. Now, you guys know the scam. The reason the climate thing is always has to be, we're all going to die, is because they're trying to make, you know, donations.
Yeah.
And no one's going to put money in the basket for, I don't know, this thing could go either way. You know what I'm saying? So, and as you both know, jet fuel is expensive. And if you want to fly around the world in a private jet, you need a full collection plate. So they show up and go, we're all going to die. You're like, oh, wow, gee, I might as well give this guy the money.
Yeah, well, but, Gates has got plenty to throw at it for now, right?
Yes, and I mean, to be clear, this is not to be taken lightly. This man has, according to some of the reports, he's been studying climate change at Epstein Island for decades. one of the reasons his wife left him. File that under jokes I couldn't tell on Fox and Friends.
Exactly.
It's like the guy over at Amazon, right? He got divorced over the whole thing, and he went from Amazon to Amazon Prime, it looks like.
Well,
if you've seen the pictures,
clear, nobody's doing more free returns these days than Tom Homan. Give the man credit.
Yeah.
Man alive. Amen. I love that. Jimmy, you know, we were just talking this morning about these SNAP benefits expiring on Saturday, I think. The cards won't be recharged. And I found my soundbite of the week this morning, and I wanted to play this because it's probably something that has not crossed your mind about the real seriousness of this issue. Listen to this guy.
Okay.
No food stamps equals no to less weed money. Like, y'all about to have people out here hangry and sober. That's a diabolical combination.
Gonna have to dip into the feed.
Where are your priorities?
You gotta dip into the weed money so you can eat.
I mean, that's rough. And how does that work? Because when you dip into the weed money, yeah, you want to eat. You know, they're offsetting penalties, as we say in the NFL. This doesn't end good for anybody. But what an insane time to be alive. And I'm sure if you looked at those numbers, you know, SNAP is now, did you read that it was 1 in 8 people in this country?
Yeah.
Which means it's a lot of able-bodied people. This is the tail end of that Biden grift. And, you know, obviously the people who need it, you want them to be taken care of. But we need to get to the bottom of the grift just the same. I mean, if you're the richest country in the world and you're $37 trillion in debt, that means America is like that NBA draft pick who signs a $100 million deal and goes broke in 3 weeks.
Right.
That's how we live right now. You know, so maybe it's time to look into the entourage before we have to start fixing poker games like other NBA stories, you know?
Yeah, we were talking about all the industries that might be hurt because people are going to have to dip into other budgets and move money to go eat, right, and to have food. Mm-hmm. So we're talking nail salons, we're talking hair salons, we're talking all the places where that money, you know, their expendable money was being spent. Now they're going to have to spend it on their own food.
Yeah, imagine that. And, you know, the truth is, as a guy who walks around New York City, a lot of the people in Times Square quit spending it in the nail, hair, and shower salons a while ago. You guys are going to have a big adjustment to make out there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what do you think about I played that bite. There's a big story in the New York Post today where they've got a link to a bunch of these people on TikTok who are basically saying, listen, if you don't give me my free food on Saturday, I'm taking it. Like, I'm going to go to grocery store parking lots, and I'm just going to wait for you to come out with your basket, and I'm going to steal it from you.
All right, but anyone who does that is going to be easy for the cops to catch because, let's face it, if you like that food that much, you can't run very far.
That's probably
so
true.
It's not ideal. It's not ideal, yeah, but it's not ideal. And that, but it does speak to the sense of entitlement a lot of people have. Because, again, the people filming these TikTok videos are people who are able-bodied and can go get a job. And that's the one thing you have to fix. You have to stop subsidizing laziness. There's people who need our help. They deserve it. But you can't compromise their benefits to help a woman who wants TikTok likes and a free ham sandwich, you know? And then, believe me, I dated a lot of those women in college. I'm not knocking them. They're a good time. But still. Yeah.
So, Jimmy, I have to ask you, you've been talking a lot on the radio about your son, Lincoln. Wasn't he in, like, the state football playoffs up there? Weren't you talking about that
up.
The other day?
It's coming up. Listen, this is the deal. They already clinched home field throughout the playoffs, but they still have to play their regular season finale against my alma mater. They're playing against the high school that I went to. Yeah, so I'm in a bad spot because I got my kid playing for Clark, but I'm obviously rooting for division. My school, you know, I'm kidding. But, you know, it works for me, high school football, whoever covers the spread.
you showing up in that division jersey then? What are you going to do?
I'm showing up in a +9.5 jersey. I got to beat the bookie, man. But I'm excited, and he's good. Mr. Lincoln's good. He's 6'5". And, you know, I've said this before. Everybody says, what is he going to do for college? I'm like, he's 6'5". He's getting a women's basketball scholarship.
I love it. Jimmy, we're looking forward to you coming to town in January out here at the Factory. You're going to love that venue.
Can't wait. Brian Kilmeade was just talking it up on Fox and Friends. He's like, it's the best place you'll ever play. It's the best crowd ever. Like, the guy really raised the bar on you guys. The guy was excited. But he really hyped you up. And this better not turn into the Bill Gates. Actually, climate change wasn't a big deal.
Buddy, we'll see you in January. Thanks.
Rock and roll. You guys are the best.
You bet.
Talk to you next week.
Jimmy Failla, host of Fox Across America. Back in a minute.
Giving me the honor of that magnificent piece of art, because it really was a piece of art that you presented to me today. And to be the first president of the United States that got that was really something very special.
That's the president over in Japan this morning, and we're lucky enough to have Grady Trumbull with us from Fox Business, who I think is at the White House this morning. Am I right, Grady?
You are correct, Mark. Good to be with you.
Absolutely.
From the White House.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about, I wanted to lead off talking about the trade deal he announced, but once I found out that South Korea gave Trump a crown so he can truly be a king, I thought maybe we should focus on that.
I'm sure the president was flattered. You know, he loves receiving things like that.
I saw that and I'm like, wait a minute. They really gave him a crown? The left is going to lose their mind over this.
Yeah, they're not going to like that. But at the same time, I believe he said that he's not running for a third term, so that should placate some of those people who might freak out over that.
Yeah, let's hope so a little bit anyway. Yeah, Grady, he did announce I think he was in Kuala Lumpur before he went to South Korea. And at each spot, he has announced trade deals that included mineral rights and things like that, all in preparation for meeting with Chinese leader Xi tomorrow. So he's kind of put himself in a pretty good negotiating spot here, right?
Yeah, I think that was the plan all along, just based on the travel schedule, is meet with all these leaders, announce this flurry of successful deals, show that the United States is willing to cooperate with these countries, lower tariffs in exchange for investments. And, you know, we saw that with South Korea, $350 billion in investment in the United States, some shipbuilding projects, and then the countries are going to reduce tariffs on autos from 15%. To 15% from 25%. We also, the president said that Japan and Toyota is going to invest $10 billion in auto plants in the U.S., but Toyota seemed to say maybe not that much money, so we're still trying to figure all that out. But regardless, these are huge investments that the United States and these other countries in Asia are announcing just ahead of this meeting. And it's actually tonight, if you want to stay up late, Mark, at 10 o'clock Eastern with President Xi, or you can just wake up tomorrow morning and see the results of the conversation.
I think I'll wake up and watch Fox Business in the morning and see what they were doing.
Grady, I'm curious, as a reporter, what it's been like for the last 9 months to be a White House reporter versus the previous administration. I mean, every day something big is dropping versus the 4 years where you probably had to invent some news because nothing was happening.
Yeah, and you'd never know what it's going to be, so you kind of have to stay abreast of all types of topics and stories, because you could be covering tariffs, and then, you know, something else happens, and you're jumping to that. For example, peace deals, things like that. You know, all of these things are being announced on a regular basis. Or you might be covering China, and then a deal with South Korea gets announced. So definitely keeping us on our toes. The only time that it seems to be quiet here in terms of the press area of the White House is on trips like this one. So it's a quiet day today, but that's because President Trump is overseas making news left and right.
This is very true. We're talking to Grady Trimble from Fox Business. He's outside of the White House this morning overseeing construction of the big, beautiful ballroom, among other things. And I see that the Fed is expected to announce another interest rate cut. Is that supposed to come later today? At some point today, they're supposed to make that announcement?
Yeah, so they'll make the announcement around 2 o'clock Eastern. And what is pretty much baked in terms of the markets and what everyone, investors, analysts are expecting, is a 25 or a quarter point rate cut, which is the same thing they did after their last meeting. And, you know, we got some inflation data that shows that it's still around 3%, so not quite at the Fed's 2% target. So that might incentivize the cut. I think anything other than a quarter point cut would be a huge surprise, and that would send the markets into a flurry one way or the other. So that's what we're expecting. It's interesting, though, because during the government shutdown, the Bureau of Labor Statistics and some of the other agencies that put out economic data, they're not doing that with the same regularity that they would. So in some regards, the Fed is flying blind here or working on, you know, older data as they make this decision. They don't have the most up-to-date data that they normally would because of the shutdown. But I think regardless, the quarter point cut is what's going to happen, and we'll find out at 2 Eastern, 1 Central time.
It's amazing that they always say the market reaction in many ways is baked in, they won't announce it, and then we'll see a reaction in the market, unless it's a bigger cut. This is the thing, though. The president said when he was on this trip, I believe, that he expects a GDP of like 4% next year, right? He's expecting the economy to grow at 4% next year with some of these trade deals and all that he's announcing. The fact that we're still at record highs after back in April, we were told that these tariffs are going to destroy the economy, is really got to be shocking to all the so-called experts.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying that the tariffs were going to cause chaos. Not only, you know, it did for the markets for a short period of time, but all of those losses have been recovered. They said prices were going to go up like crazy. Obviously, that hasn't happened to any measurable degree. So it's been all the naysayers who thought the tariffs weren't going to work might be biting their tongues a little bit today with these deals being announced. You know, there are still some economists who say, well, it's going to take a while before we see the effects of these things. But remember, too, that I think a big part of the tactic here with the tariffs was to get these countries to the table, and that's what's been happening. I do think if those original tariff rates remained, then we could be talking about something completely different. But that hasn't happened. And the president and this administration would say that's a sign that the plan worked, that these countries took note of the tariffs and they said, we don't want to deal with that. So we're going to come to the table and negotiate in good faith.
You know, with all of these wins, I mean, literally, it's almost a win a day for the Trump administration. The economy is on the uptick. Fuel prices are down. Grocery prices are down. I mean, all of this good news, the Democrats, they're hanging their hat on a government shutdown and trying to fight for, you know, health care subsidies and Medicaid increases and trying to get all the increases back to the big, beautiful bill. Where are they going to find any traction right now? And they're, you know, using the food stamp program, the SNAP program as like their weapon right now.
Well, and the really unfortunate thing is the longer it drags on, it's going to start to affect everyday Americans more and more. Like you mentioned, those who receive SNAP benefits, food stamps. It's also, I don't know if you've flown recently, but there have been, you know, lots of delays and some cancellations because air traffic controllers aren't getting paid right now, and they're having to decide, do I come into work and not get paid, or do I pick up a shift with Uber or DoorDash so I at least have a paycheck coming in? And so, you know, there are going to be real impacts because of this shutdown. And I think it's been fairly easy for Republicans thus far to say it's the Democrats shutting down the government, and they're doing it over this issue that is not something that needs to be discussed right now. We're happy to talk about these Obamacare subsidies, but let's do it after we reopen the government. The question is, just like it always is during these shutdowns and these tough negotiation periods in Congress, who's going to blink first? I think for the time being, like you said, because of everything that's going on, Republicans have the upper hand. But the longer this, say it goes into Thanksgiving and flights are canceled left and right, that would be a huge issue. And that would sort of press both sides to maybe come to the table and work out a deal. And I'm personally hoping that they've got this figured out before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Hey, listen, Grady, we appreciate your time this morning, my friend. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for the time, as always.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate that.
That's great.
I don't want to draw those people into that. What I wanted to ask him is if he could see that sign over there by the White House that says coming soon, MAGA Ballroom.
MAGA Hall. I think MAGA Hall is a great name.
If the president really wanted to troll his opponents, he should put something like that out there where it's visible. And then that would just drive him over the edge.
It totally
would.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely
Oh, my
would.
Gosh. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Great event coming up tonight. I know out in DePere and a few other places around town with some fantastic wines out of California. We're gonna talk to one of the great names in the wine business when we come back. Stay tuned. All right. Just a quick reminder here, a little housekeeping. On Friday, we will be starting the Responder Rescue ATF raffle for the month of November, because November starts on a Saturday. We're going to start it on Friday. Tickets are only $1 a piece, but there's a minimum $10 purchase. I'm going to have all the details for you Friday. But let me tell you what we're doing to help raise money for Responder Rescue this year. I've got a basket of bourbon that you're not going to believe. I've got some Pappy Van Winkle in there. Somebody's donated a bottle of Weller 12. I'm going to have a nice bottle of Blanton's in there. Maybe some Weller Antique 107. A bunch of other great stuff is going to be in the bourbon basket. There'll be three winners. You could win that. You could win a gun from the Range St. Louis West, or you could win a night at Lit Cigar Lounge for 10 of your friends and bottle service valued at about $1,000. So all great prizes. There'll be three winners picked on the 26th, and we'll announce them live on Facebook out at the Range. So just want to throw that out there. We'll start promoting it on Friday when you can open up and start buying the tickets. So good luck for that. Now, I just found out from my friend Scott over at Lore Wine and Spirits that also in that bourbon, in that basket, I'm going to be able to include a couple bottles of some delicious Gunlock Bunshoe wine, which makes me very happy and will make my listeners very happy. And I've got Jeff Bunshoe on the phone this morning from the winery, which is the oldest continuously family-owned winery there in California, established back in the 1800s. Jeff, welcome back.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me. I'm grateful we get to participate in that bourbon basket. That sounded pretty yummy, even without the wine in it.
So I know.
That's a great thing you guys are doing.
Well, thank you. We do it every year to try to help first responders here locally, and we've raised, I think, $125,000 or $130,000 over the last few years. So, yeah, thrilled to get to do that, and thank you for the donation through Lore, because there's always somebody who loves bourbon, but their spouse is not a bourbon drinker, so they can have some great wine.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, I'm glad that's a great cause.
So
glad to be a part of it.
We're having you on this morning because you're in Missouri, and I know you're going to have an event tonight that's already sold out at Schnucks, I believe, in DePere. But you've been all over the state, haven't you?
I have been. This weather is, I actually left a little bit of weather like this at home we just got harvest done right before it started. So, I'm happy to be in it and it's not reminding me of anything that's going wrong at home in the vineyard. We had a good season, but a little bit of rain, so we were able to beat it.
Yeah, well, I know that you were in Jeff City this week. You were at Innsbruck. You're going to be at the Schnucks in De Pere tonight. Again, tickets have sold out already, and I think Thursday you're going to be in Columbia. But, yeah, that's I was wondering about that. You know, we talk a lot about how climate makes a big difference, the cool air and the warm air and all that in the valley there where you're making all this wine.
Yeah, it's interesting. The you know, it's funny. We've been doing this a while now, and it used to be, I'm talking about your and I conversation, your and mine and me being here in St. Louis this time of year. But it used to be, before I started coming here, you know, about 5 years ago, that rain this time of year was the thing that all growers were concerned about. And nowadays, ironically, the rain is a little bit of a relief because it means no fire. So this was the biggest issue for us. Sort of existentially is fires, which we've had like four of the last 5 years, and to have a season like this where the rain came early enough to eradicate it, the risk of it, but not enough to hurt the harvest. It became like a kind of a calming season for all things, even though it was rainy. Ironically, rain itself, you know, unless it's continuous and really long, isn't a huge issue from like a flavor standpoint. But what does happen is, very practically, you can't get your tractors into the vineyard because it's muddy. So that becomes the big issue for us when it comes to any sort of substantial rain.
And Jeff, your family being in the wine business since like 1858, I was reading, it's like you've seen just about everything. But in terms of these fires and the fact that they're not doing the clearing as they used to do, is it concerning to you that sometimes these conservation extremists are impacting your business on a profound way? I mean, you've got to get those forests cleared.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, the clearing is it's a little complicated because the clearing itself involves controlled burning, right?
Right.
And so there's a lot of controlled burning that needs to happen in order for the clearing, at least around where we live, to be successful. And it tends to be a bit more of a NIMBY issue than like a straight up political issue, because nobody wants to be smoky in the summer, because you do all the clearing in the summer, and right. And that's when you do these burns, but you do them in very controlled circumstances. But then it gets smoky and everybody complains about the smoke, and it's kind of hard. But yes, indeed, it would be great if it was just naturally burning.
Jeff Bunchu, I've got less than a minute left here. Tell me your favorite wine you've turned out this year. What are you selling the most here in Missouri?
Well, we sell a lot of Cabernet, which is great because being a competitive guy and from Sonoma, it's nice to knock Napa a little bit because the wines are good in there, and they're standing up pretty well from a price point standpoint. But generally that and our dry Gewurztraminer, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up, and that's one of our favorite wines to have all year round, but especially this time of year. So
I'd love you
to be sharing them.
Do a class on those blends too, man. That is amazing stuff you're putting out. Yep.
Jeff, we're always great having you on. Welcome to Missouri.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much, Mark. And thanks again.
You bet.
Nice to see everybody.
Take care of yourself. Okay. Appreciate that. Jeff Bunchu there from Gunluck Bunchu out in Sonoma, California.
They're going to be enjoying that wine at Schnucks. Is that tonight?
It is tonight. Again, it's sold out. I wish apparently those tickets sell out the minute it gets announced every year. All right. That's going to do it for us. Kilmeade's up next. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.